investing in these preventive health behaviors will improve health outcomes for the children in the short term, and then in the longer term will also lead to improved education and labor market outcomes.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Children in low-income countries are 12 times more likely to die before their fifth birthday than children in high-income countries. Cash transfers to households in those low-income countries may increase how much money is spent on the health of children, but how large are those outcomes, and should the transfers specifically target child health? Anuparmadathan of the Abdul Latif Jamil Poverty Action Lab, you'll probably know it as JPAL, has reviewed the evidence and she joins me now. Anu, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi Tim, thank you very much for having me.
Cash transfer schemes like this, they're incredibly common, aren't they? But what's the typical design? What's the rules for a cash transfer scheme?
Yeah, great question. I would say that there isn't really a typical design. Cash transfer programs at their core provide cash to households, but they can vary quite a bit in their design. In some cases, they might be provided as a one-time payment. In others, they might be provided regularly at some predetermined frequency, so weekly or monthly. They can also vary a lot in their size. And as this insight discusses quite a bit, they can also be conditional or unconditional. So unconditional transfers are provided with no strings attached, meaning that households receive the money and they're free to spend it on whatever their household priority might be. Mm-hmm. Other transfers might be conditional, meaning that households must undertake certain behaviors. And so what those conditions are can also vary quite a bit. Some might include health behaviors, as discussed in this insight. Others might include education requirements, and the list goes on.
We've got quite a lot to talk about, haven't we? But first of all, just also on our definitions, we're talking about spending on child health. That's a pretty broad phrase, isn't it? What does this mean? How wide is the category of things we would call child health?
Yeah, so by child health, we mean that we're looking at whether households that receive cash transfers tend to invest more in the health of children in the household. And in the context of this particular policy insight, we're talking about participation in healthy behaviors like preventive care visits, immunization, largely preventive health. It's also important to note that we're talking about children typically under the age of 5 or so. And the goal is that investing in these preventive health behaviors will improve health outcomes for the children in the short term, and then in the longer term will also lead to improved education and labor market outcomes.
I should mention, very often on Vox Dev Talks, we talk about one particular intervention or one paper, one experiment. What you've done here for this policy insight is you have reviewed all the available evidence, haven't you, to see if there are patterns of evidence emerging.
So we reviewed the evidence from a number of studies that fit predetermined criteria. I wouldn't say that this is necessarily all of the evidence,
but
this is a significant chunk of the large RCT evidence.
Now, first of all, if there is an unconditional transfer, people generally all over the world love their kids. Why might they not invest that in child health?
Unconditional cash transfers act as a safety net. And so households receive this income support, and that's just additional money that they have to spend on whatever their household priorities might be at the moment. And so whether they allocate that cash transfer to preventive child health really depends on what is their current priority. We often see that households really invest in paying down debt, making investments, spending on food, things like that, that are really urgent. And in theory, if a household valued preventive health above these other priorities, then yes, absolutely, we might see them investing in that. But on the other hand, right, if you were given this sum of money and you had a debt collector knocking on your door, or you didn't have food security, you might find that you want to kind of invest in some of those activities first.
From looking at the evidence that you did review, when did you find that an unconditional cash transfer results in more investment in child health? When not?
So in the insight, we reviewed evidence from 4 different unconditional cash transfer programs, and only one of them showed improvements in child health outcomes, and that was when the transfer was particularly large. So the hypothesis is that it probably depends on to what extent households are valuing this preventive health behavior and whether they were already investing in it. So to back up a little bit, unconditional cash transfers offer a great deal of freedom to households to invest in whatever it is that they're prioritizing. Whether that includes preventive health or not can really depend. In general, we see that households prioritize activities like paying down debt, investing in assets. But if the cash transfer is larger, then there's money left over after they invest in these priorities, and they may also have the money to invest in child health.
So therefore, if we are particularly targeting this kind of improvement, then conditional cash transfers seem interesting. How does conditionality work in this case? Do you have to then decide eligibility or monitor compliance? It sounds like it might be more expensive, a little bit more difficult to implement a conditional transfer.
Right. So in this context, having conditions means that households need to meet certain requirements in order to receive the cash transfer. And in general, conditions can include a range of activities such as preventive health or school attendance. In this particular insight, we're looking specifically at different types of health behaviors specific to child health. But most conditional cash transfer programs do aim to invest in human capital development in the longer term. To your question, yes, adding in monitoring can absolutely increase the cost of the program and make them more expensive. But it's also important to remember that it depends on how strictly the conditions are enforced and whether the monitoring systems already existed. So if we are really looking at the monitoring systems, you can imagine that if you had to create a monitoring system from scratch to ensure that households were taking their child to the clinic for well child visits regularly, that would be more expensive than if you already had a system that was automatically monitoring these conditions and you didn't have to really build that up any further.
So on the evidence that you've looked at, how important is monitoring and enforcement if you really want to achieve some behavior change?
So this is a great question. This is not super clear from the literature. Many conditional cash transfer programs do have strict enforcement, and we see that take-up of healthy behaviors increases in those studies. But a couple of them also have weaker enforcement, and we see that households still increase their participation in the targeted behaviors. And so in some ways, it might really depend on why households are changing their behavior. Some might be changing their behavior because the cash transfer with conditions is directly incentivizing certain behaviors, and households know that they won't get the cash unless they take up the behavior. So in these instances, we might expect that conditions need to be more strictly enforced. But on the other hand, it might be that households are changing their behavior simply because those conditions are providing information on why they should adopt certain behaviors and what those behaviors should be. And then it's that this information alongside the income from the cash transfer that's motivating the behavior change.
I guess also achieving behavior change, well, that gets you part of the way along the road, doesn't it? But I suppose this also depends on if you want the children to have access to some kind of healthcare service or program. It depends on the quality of that program as well.
Absolutely, yes. Health outcomes are really dependent on the availability and the quality of care, and they can also take time to manifest depending on what outcomes it is that we're thinking about. So ensuring that there's a robust supply of healthcare is super important, and so is making sure that the follow-up happens long enough after the intervention for any improvements to be detectable. And then it's also worth noting that a couple of cash transfer programs also tried to strengthen the supply of care as well, but most of them don't. And so when you're implementing a cash transfer program with the explicit goal of improving health outcomes, it is important to make sure that the supply side, that the healthcare system and the healthcare services are available as well.
So the big question, Anu, is outcomes. What short-term outcomes, what long-term outcomes have been estimated? How much do we know about that?
Conditional cash transfer programs in general can look at a range of outcomes in the short term, including health and education and other outcomes. In this particular insight, we're considering programs that include child health in the short-term outcomes. But the ultimate goal is to improve human capital development. And so we want to know whether improved early childhood health translates to better educational outcomes. So that might manifest both in terms of improved cognition, but also learning outcomes. Ideally, improved educational outcomes would improve employment outcomes and wages. We do have a handful of studies that follow children whose families received CCTs for health into the longer term, and they find that they can have improved educational outcomes, but not enough time has really passed to have a large body of evidence on this, nor on the impact that these programs might have on employment and wages.
Recently, we spoke to Airbell Labs, and one of their tasks is to try and make sense of all the available evidence on this to help policymakers, who they point out often have so much evidence they don't know how to make sense of it. Now, you're doing something similar here. If I am a policymaker and I want to target child health outcomes using cash transfers, what advice would you give to me? What would you warn me about as well?
Great question. So what you invest in will really depend on some combination of your goals, on the existing infrastructure you're working with, on your monitoring capacity, which is of course related, and on your budget. So if you're interested in targeting child health and you're less concerned about creating an overall safety net or other outcomes, then you might want to implement a conditional cash transfer program that includes conditions related to households participating in child health behaviors in order to receive that transfer. But what those behaviors are is going to depend quite a bit on what you care about. So are you trying to raise awareness through parents attending information sessions, for instance? Are you trying to increase rates of well child visits or vaccination rates? And then, of course, there's this question of infrastructure. So do you have the health infrastructure available to provide that, right? There's very little point to implementing a conditional cash transfer program based on well child visits if there aren't really the local clinics available, or if the quality of the clinics is extremely poor. Then you need to strengthen the supply as well. And as we discussed, implementing a conditional cash transfer program also requires some level of monitoring. So then is that feasible given the context in which you're working? Do you have the budget for that? And then there are other questions not considered in this insight, such as the size of the transfer, who the recipient is within the household, the frequency of the transfer, how the cash is actually distributed, and a host of other practical considerations to keep in mind as well.
As it turns out, many, many pitfalls. Not a simple policy to implement, but thank you very much for doing the work to clarify what some of those issues are. Anu, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Tim.
If you want to read more about this, then, well, read the Policy Insight. It's from 2020. It's called Using Cash Transfers to Improve Child Health in Low and Middle Income Countries. It's a JPAL Policy Insight, as I said. You can find it at povertyactionlab.org. There's plenty of other interesting stuff there as well. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, all our past episodes are always at voxdev.org, where you can find articles about the papers we feature as well.